This evening in the Word of the Lord to the Gospel of Mark. Turning tonight to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. We want to begin our reading at verse 35. Mark, chapter 4, and verse 35, and we shall read to the end of the chapter. Verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he that is the Lord Jesus saith unto them, his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the public reading of the Lord's own holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Now, as we have done on other nights, we want now to look to the Lord and seek the Lord's face in prayer with all sincerity and earnestness of heart. And again, I would earnestly ask every Christian to pray just now for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. Would you join with me and pray now to that end, and pray tonight that souls will be saved, backsliders will be restored to their first love. Let us all pray. Our God and everlasting Father, we bow once again before Thee. We know that Thou art a God that knowest all things. And, O Lord, Thou knowest everyone who is in this tent tonight. Thou, Lord, knowest every heart. Thou, Lord, knowest all who are Thine and those, Lord, who are yet in their sin. Lord, as has been prayed tonight, the Savior is passing this way. The Savior has gone out into the way. And Lord, Thou art here this evening on the Moneymore Road through this Gospel Tent campaign. And dear Lord, we thank Thee again that Thou dost give sinners an opportunity once more to prepare to meet Thee. And our God, I pray this night that the Spirit of God will so work that indeed sinners will be called out from their sin. Backsliders will be called home from the far country to the Father's house. And, O Lord, there'll be great rejoicing not only in this tent, but great rejoicing in the presence of the angels in heaven. Oh God, make this a night of rejoicing, I pray. Grant that in all things the Lord Jesus will be magnified. Fill me now, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. And help us, Lord, tonight in the preaching of the word to be honest and truthful and sincere. Help us, Lord, to preach Christ and to preach the blood. Amen. In the Savior's holy name, I pray. Amen. Our text for this evening is found there in verse 36. Verse 36 of Mark chapter 4. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. I would like this evening, with the Lord's help, to focus on those words. They took him even as he was. In this chapter 4 of Mark, we are given an account of a day in the life of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus. We find in the parallel passage of Scripture in Matthew 13 that Matthew tells us that it was a day of preaching and it was a day of teaching by the seaside. And so great was the size of his congregation that they pressed upon him that he had to step into a ship, and there that ship became his pulpit. Mark 4 and verses 1 and 2. And then again, according to Matthew, the Savior, as he preached by the seaside that day, preached by the seaside and preached on 7 parables. Each parable enlightening this congregation to the way of salvation and how they might enter into the kingdom of God. It was a full day of preaching. And now that day is drawing to a close. The day is far spent, and it is toward evening. But the Savior isn't finished. The Savior must work the works of him that sent him. And although he was tired and weary from a day of preaching and teaching, there was still more work to be done. And so from that pulpit there on the sea, when he was in the ship, he gave command to the disciples to send the multitude away. And then he said, let us pass over onto the other side. There was no time or opportunity for the Savior to rest and to be refreshed. And so when they had sent away the multitude, we're told they took him even as he was in the ship. Yes. In this inspired word, we have that little phrase, they took him even as he was. And I want to look at those words tonight and see how the disciples simply took the Lord Jesus as he was. And how wonderfully that pictures for us the way we all take the Lord Jesus. We just take him as he is. And I would trust this evening that in this tent meeting that there will be young people, there will be older people, And you will simply this evening take the Lord Jesus as he is. We have endeavored through the course of this campaign thus far to be as simple and to be as plain as we possibly can. I never want anybody to go out of a meeting and say to someone else, I couldn't understand a word that man was saying. I don't ever want that to happen. And so this evening I want to be as plain again as I can. And I would like to exhort all in this tent tonight who do not know the Lord Jesus, will you not take tonight Jesus Christ just as he is? Take him as he is. The Lord Jesus is worth taking. So why not take the Savior tonight as he is? You see, the Lord told the disciples, we're going over to the other side. Someday, every one of us here will go over to the other side. For some of us tonight, we will go over to the other side, to the land that is fairer than day. By faith, we can see it afar. And the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. We'll go over to the other side and we'll meet the Savior who loved us and gave himself for us and died for us. And we long to see the Savior first of all. Praise God, we're going over to the other side. We're going to cross Jordan. And do you know something? We'll not have to cross Jordan alone. The Lord will be there for us. He'll take us over. And we'll spend the rest of eternity with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. But then there are others in the tent tonight. Yes, you'll be crossing over to the other side, but the picture will not be as bright for you. Where we will cross over to the other side, to that land of eternal day, you will cross over to the other side where there is eternal darkness. And we have said enough about that this week thus far. And so in preparation for that great day, when you will cross over to the other side, I would exhort you this evening in preparation for that day, take Jesus just as he is. Now that's simple enough, isn't it? I'm asking you this evening by faith to take Jesus just as he is. The Lord Jesus spoke these words to the disciples, and the first thing I notice is that they received Christ just as he was. The Savior invites his disciples to take him with them to the other side. He said, let us, mark the words, let us pass over onto the other side. And so in response to the Savior's words and the Savior's invitation, we're told, they took him even as he was. Notice first of all that they took him willingly. Do you notice that? Let us pass over onto the other side. And it says they took him even as he was. They took him willingly. Once the word came from the lips of the Savior, the disciples set about doing and carrying out his bidding. Notice there was no debate about the matter. They took him just as he was. No debate. They didn't argue amongst themselves. Neither did they argue with the master. They didn't have a debate about it. They didn't say, oh, wonder, should we take him tonight? Or a wonder, should we leave it until tomorrow? No, there was no debate, no argument. They simply took him as he was. All that men and women tonight in this tent would do the same. Without any debate on the matter. How is it that men and women will more or less accept anything, and yet when it comes to the matter of salvation and taking Jesus Christ, there's a whole debate about it? Oh, and they debate with themselves, and they wonder, am I really ready to be saved? Am I really ready to receive Christ? Maybe I'm not convicted enough about receiving Christ. And the debate goes on and they wonder, well, I wonder will the Lord receive me? I wonder will he accept me? And then they debate further and they wonder, well, I would like to be saved, but I know I couldn't keep it. Oh, I just couldn't keep my salvation. Well, my friend, on that point, I agree with you. It's the Lord that does the keeping. And if anybody can keep your soul, Jesus Christ can keep your soul. Jesus Christ can keep your salvation. And so you see, my friend, there's no need for any debate. Just take Jesus Christ as he is. Simply receive him as he is. Without any debate, without any argument, the Lord says, let us pass over onto the other side, and all you have to do is take him as he is. Simple, isn't it? How is it so many people make the way of salvation so complicated? Indeed, I feel that's what some people stumble over. Oh, it can't be as simple as that. Oh, there must be something I need to do. It just can't be as simple as that, as receiving Jesus Christ. Well, listen, it is as simple as that. Here it is illustrated for us. They took him as he was. You notice also that in taking the Lord Jesus, we're told they took him willingly. There was no debate. You'll notice something else. There was no delay. Look at it again. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him. No delay. No saying, well, I'll wait. I think I'll wait. Peter and James and John and Andrew and the rest of them didn't say, well, I think we'll wait. We'll wait till later on tonight. Or maybe we would be better waiting here, like it's going to get dark soon, so we'll wait until the morning. Not at all, not at all. The Savior says, let us pass over on to the other side. And they took him as he was, and they did it immediately. No tarrying, no waiting, no delay. They took him as he was. And here, my friend, that's all you have to do tonight is take Jesus as he is. So why do you talk about delay? Why are you sitting in that chair right now and thinking to yourself, well, maybe I'll wait until the last week of the mission? Yes, I have been spoken to by the gospel. I've been spoken to by the Lord. The Spirit of God has been striving with me, but maybe I'll just wait. Why are you waiting? What are you waiting for? If you wait another day, you're another day near a lost eternity. If you wait another day, you have another day gambling with your very soul. Why do you delay? Why do you wait? Why do you tarry? Just take Jesus as he is. That is simple, straightforward, and plain. There's no need to delay. Oh, the devil will tell you to delay. You know, that little voice you hear in your head, it seeks to convince you to wait another day, or maybe the weekend, or maybe wait until the next campaign comes around. We mentioned that the other night. There's danger and there's death and delay. The devil will tell you to wait. Do you know something? You know that there are 66 books in the Bible. We begin with Genesis, we finish with Revelation. And nowhere between the first verse in Genesis and the last verse in Revelation does the Lord or the Spirit of God exhort people to delay. Nowhere. When it comes to the matter of salvation, there's no advice given to any seeking soul or any individual or any sinner that they are to wait. Nowhere. Surely that's enough to convince you that you can't afford to wait. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now, right now, tonight. Take him. Young man, take him tonight. I'm presenting him to you in the gospel. Young woman, take him. Why don't you take him? Take him just as he is. Just as you find him. Just as he's revealed in the scripture. Take him as he is. Take him as we present him to you tonight. There was no debate. There was no delay. And there were no doubts either. There were no doubts in the minds of the disciples about taking the Lord Jesus and reaching the other side. And so they took him even as he was. There were no doubts about him getting them there to the other side. He had already told them, let us pass over on to the other side. And they took the Lord Jesus as he was. They never questioned him. They never doubted him. They never said to each other or even to the Lord, well, will we really make it to the other side? There were no doubts at all. And so often, whenever the gospel is presented to men and women like you and young people like you tonight, the old doubts come in. Will he really be able to save me? I remember preaching in one of our churches a number of years ago, and a lady stayed behind, and we were in the inquiry room, and she said she loved to be saved, but she says, my husband has been a drunkard for years, and he has drunk his way through 2 farms, and we have nothing. And our home is shattered and our lives are destroyed and our marriage is destroyed. Will the Lord really take me? And she doubted that the Lord would take her and save her. Well, praise the Lord did take her that night, and she was saved that night. My friend, you don't need to doubt. You'll take the word of your best friend without doubting what they say. Isn't that right? You'll say, well, if so-and-so said it, I can take that person at their word. Well, here's someone who's even better than your best friend. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And whatever the Lord Jesus says, you can depend upon it. You can rest upon it. You can stand upon it. You can build for eternity upon what Jesus says. And if Jesus says, let us pass over onto the other side, glory to God, you'll reach the other side. You're not going to get lost somewhere along the way. Oh, there may be those times, just like the disciples, whenever your faith is weak. And maybe you feel cold in heart. And you're maybe not living the way you want to. As a believer, you're still going to reach the other side. Christ will bring you there. No need to doubt. I tell you, there's no need to doubt. You receive Jesus Christ tonight, and you are as sure of heaven as if you were already there. Now, you can't get anything better than that, can you? Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it will never be erased. Your name will be engraved in the palms of the Savior's hands, and they will never be erased. And if you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and take the Lord tonight just as He is, your place in heaven will be reserved for you. And you'll occupy that place one day. Isn't that good? So why don't you take Him as He is? That's what the disciples did. You notice also that not only did they take the Lord willingly, they took the Lord wisely. They were wise. The disciples were wise in taking Christ even as He was, for here was a journey the disciples were to embark upon. And before they would complete that journey, they would have to face a great storm of wind. Were they not glad? Were they not glad they had behaved wisely in taking Jesus with them on that journey? As they faced that terrible storm, the Lord Jesus said, let us pass over. Now here's something. When the Lord Jesus said, let us pass over, those words may be rendered, let us pass through. Let us pass through to the other side. Through what? Why, he was talking about the storm, of course. And so before they left one shore and reached the other, the Lord knew there was a storm in the way, that they would have to pass through this storm. But mark what the Lord said. Let us pass through onto the other side. It doesn't matter how fierce the storm, we'll still pass through it and we'll still be on the other side. Weren't they glad they had Christ in the vessel? And what do our children sing? With Christ in the vessel, you can smile at the storm. Smile at the storm as we go sailing on. And so the Lord Jesus said, and I want you to notice again what he said. You know, every word in the scriptures is important. Even words that are made up of nothing more than two letters. Jesus said, let us pass through onto the other side. The Lord Jesus knew all about the storm. And it was a fierce storm. It even scared the life out of these fishermen who had seen many a storm. And they were scared. But the Lord Jesus said to them, let us pass through. In other words, the Lord was saying to the disciples, although they didn't realize it at the time, the Lord was saying to the disciples, we're going to get to the other side, but before we do so, we're going to have to go through a storm. But let me say to you, brethren, to Peter and James and John and the rest of you, I want you to know I'll be there with you. Let us pass through. I will bring you through the storm. And so they took Jesus as he was. How glad they were. How wise they were. Could you imagine being one of these disciples in that ship in the darkness of the night and the storm rages and we're told that the wind blew and the waves came into the ship till the ship was full? The Lord kept the ship afloat because Christ was in the ship with them. They couldn't drown. The ship couldn't sink. They couldn't be lost. But they were afraid that night. And they brought Christ with them. They took him even as he was. And the one who went with them was the one who was able to rebuke the wind and calm the sea. And when the storm arose, we know what happened. Jesus stood up, rebuked the wind, and calmed the sea, and there was a great calm. They were glad they had taken Jesus as he was. They were glad, I'm sure, that they hadn't argued. They hadn't debated the matter. They're glad, I'm sure, that they acted wisely and they acted willingly. Now, why don't you do the same? You know something? We could have a testimony meeting tonight. And every Christian in this tent tonight could stand up and talk about the day the Lord changed them and saved them. And they could stand up and testify that the Lord has never left them for a second. And they could testify that often they have had to go through some fierce storms in life. And they couldn't have got through those storms without the Savior with them. And maybe they've said to their fellow Christian, my, I'm glad I accepted the Lord. I'm glad I took Jesus as my Savior. I could never have got through this storm without Him. That's right. Now, what about you? You're going to face some fierce storms in your life. That's guaranteed. Nobody sails through life without facing and entering into a storm of some description of another. Maybe it's sickness. And I tell you, it's good when you're lying on a bed of sickness that you can commune with the Lord Jesus upon your bed at night, as the psalmist says. And when all your friends and relatives have gone home and the hospital ward is dark and quiet, we can rejoice the Lord's in the hospital ward with us. Or maybe tragedy strikes the home and strikes the family, and a loved one is suddenly taken from us. And the heart is broken and the tears flow. And we can have 100 sympathizers around us, but we feel like the loneliest person in all the world. But we know, through it all, there's one who's beside us. He'll go through any storm and every storm with us. Why don't you be wise tonight? I believe I told this story in the last mission we had in the church. In Port Hope, there was a man who opened a British shop, sold British goods, and of course we frequented it quite often. My wife worked in that shop for a period of time. The man and woman who owned that shop had a son, their only son. He was learning to drive. And one winter's day, he went out to do his test. Roads were slippery. He skidded, crashed, and the young lad was killed. The police called our home and asked me if I would go to the shop. They wouldn't tell me what had happened. I went to the shop, and there standing in the shop door was this young lad's father, devastated, as you can imagine. We got him inside, closed the door. We were there with he and his wife for a period of time, and then a knock came to the door. Two ladies standing there. They came in, just stood in the doorway, introduced themselves as part of a group in the town who would visit people who have had a tragedy in their life, and they come to visit them and seek to comfort them. They were doing their best. I don't criticize them or condemn them for that. They were doing their best. But you know how those two ladies were going to bring comfort to that man and his wife who had just lost a son an hour or so before? They handed them a teddy bear. And that was supposed to comfort them. What could a teddy bear do for a man and woman's heart that was broken? And that was the best they could do. A teddy bear. And that poor couple didn't know the Lord. And we sought to comfort them, of course, by telling them about Christ. But there they were, devastated. Their only son killed. And they didn't have the Lord to go through the storm with them. All they had was a teddy bear. Trust, of course, that such a tragedy will never come to your home. But if it ever does, and anything like that, who are you going to have to comfort you? Will you have the Lord with you? Will He be with you in the storm? I know your friends and relatives will come around and they'll weep with you and they'll put their arms around you and say, we're sorry and we're praying for you. But those things that don't touch the heart, that don't bind up the heart, they don't bring comfort in the middle of the night when you're alone and you feel the loneliness and you miss that child or you miss that individual. And you're all alone. But oh, if you just took Jesus Christ as He is, if you took Christ tonight as He is, just simply take Him. When those storms come, you'll have Jesus Christ standing right beside you. With His ever-loving arms around you. And His precious word speaking to you. The great apostle Paul experienced that on the great ship Alexandria. Been in the midst of a storm, and these are the words we read about Paul. There was no small tempest lay upon us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss in the midst of a storm that lasted for days. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Listen to this. Listen to this. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whose I serve. There stood by me tonight in the storm. Every man thought their life was lost. But Paul said, there stood by me tonight the angel of God. That's the name that's given to Jesus Christ. What a Savior. Oh, my friend, what a Savior. He'll stand by you. He'll stand with you. He'll go through the storm with you. And you know what He'll do? He'll bring you through on the other side. Praise His name. Because remember, He's the one who's able to rebuke the wind and calm the seas. When your heart is aching, your stomach's churning, there's a great storm raging in your mind as you say, how am I going to get through? Jesus will stand beside you. Take Him, even as He is. Just take Him. Be wise tonight. Be willing tonight to take the Savior even as he is. They received Christ. Just a few more thoughts and we're finished. They took the real Christ. Now what it says, they took him even as he was. For you see, we all know in this day and age in which we live, there are those who preach a Christ that is really unrecognizable. You know, you're a student of the Word, and you read the Gospels, and you read all that the prophets had to say about the Lord Jesus, and then you hear what some men today say about the Lord Jesus, and you say in your heart, that's not the Lord Jesus I know. That's not the Christ of the Bible that I know. That's not the Christ that entered my heart. And so you see many a false Christ, a Christ of man's imagination. Oh, and I'll tell you something, I can't stand it whenever men portray Christ as some kind of an effeminate individual. He's nothing of the kind. Jesus Christ is called a man of war. He's manly. He's not effeminate. He's manly. He's the man of God. He's portrayed as a weak Christ. No, he's not. He's a strong Christ. They portray him as a good Christ, but he's a great Christ. And this false Christ that is portrayed is not the Christ that I'm recommending to you tonight. Because a false Christ, a Christ of someone's imagination, will never save anybody. You need the Christ of this great book. All you need to know about him is here. This is the Christ you need. This is the Lord Jesus you need to receive and take just as he is. The time is gone. I just want to finish with that. They took him even as he was. Will you do the same? Take the Lord Jesus just as he is. Just as we have presented him to you tonight. Just as he is. Don't be looking for any kind of fashionable Christ. Oh, there's some people, they wish they had a fashionable Christ. What do I mean by that? Oh, a Christ that they feel could stand with them at the bar. You know, a Christ that they could receive but yet not have any mocking or bear any reproach from their mates or their friends. They want a Christ that they could tell these lewd stories and jokes to and would get a laugh from him. No, they don't want a Christ that talks about surrender and dedication and consecration. Separation from the world. No, that's not the Christ they want. They want a fashionable Christ. Well, you're not going to find him in the Bible. And you're not going to find him in this tent. But you will find the true, honest, holy, spotless, sinless, saving Christ. And I'm asking you tonight, take him as he is. Just as he is. We often sing, just as I am. Well, why not take Christ just as he is? And you'll have him with you. And all I've said about him tonight is true. If many in this tent tonight will back me up on that. If many in this tent tonight will say, amen, brother, I agree with you. You can depend on Jesus Christ tonight to save you from your sin, to wash you in his blood, to be your companion, your friend, throughout the rest of your days on earth. And then at last to see him in all his glory in heaven. And when you see him, you'll fall down at his feet. See those nail prints in his hands and in his feet. And you'll say, Lord Jesus, how I wish I had come to thee sooner. How I wish I had given thee more. Take him. Simple. It's simple. Take him as he is. May God enable you to take Christ tonight even as he is. Let's bow in prayer.